This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. Capital City. This is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Good day, everybody. Good Masters Thursday to you. Hello to all of you in the Heisen Lika Law Firm chat room and all of you driving about listening on 93.3. I'm Jeff, that is Tom. On Twitter, it is at J Cameron Show. All right. Tommy, I did not put any money on your boys today, but they're up 7-0.
Is that right?
It's a beat down of the Braves.
Need two more.
You feel better at 9-0?
Nine, I feel better. That lineup is ridiculous. All it takes is two bullpen arms to falter, and that game is 7-4, and there's two on with two out.
Jose Quintana started for you, right?
That creep can throw.
He can. My bucko's taking on the Phillies tonight. And just so you know, that is Jared Jones, the young phenom, against Ranger Suarez, so there you go.
I'll be taking in your Pirates Monday night. I will see them
That's
in
That's right,
Queens.
You're going, aren't you?
Yep.
Good for you, good for you. Fun game tonight. These two going after it. You know, they always try to make them rivals, but Philadelphia and Pittsburgh have never really been rivals. They've really never had, like, this great rivalry series of any consequence where something of major importance was on the line. It's not just because they're in the same state. It's not the same thing.
Generally speaking, those two cities don't have a whole lot.
Pittsburgh and Philadelphia in hockey don't really feel like much of a rivalry.
That's the closest one.
Yeah.
You name the closest one.
Probably.
Because there's not a Steelers-Eagles game that I can recall.
They're
in different conferences.
Yeah. Yeah. Pirates and Phillies are both in the National League. Maybe somewhere along the way it would have been of consequence.
Right. Flyers and Pens are in the same division. But, I mean, Philadelphia has been inconsequential in hockey outside of a year or two for the past 20 years or so. They made the East Finals in 04. But, you know, they made the finals. Patrick Kane beat them. Other than that, it's been the Pittsburgh show with Sidney Crosby.
We're getting ready for a good time, man. The NBA playoffs and then the NHL playoffs. And, you know, one of the fun things is how quickly, and I'm going to curse it, aren't I? Man, we used to do the countdowns where you get under a certain amount of days and we do the wake-up. I always kind of jokingly start that in April. I don't know why. I just always have. I hasten the days until we get back to football. I try to get to are we the very first game of the year? Is the game in Ireland the actual first game of the year in college football?
Typically is, yeah.
How many days out are we?
From August 24th?
Yeah, let's here we go. Here we go, buddy. 134. Okay. 134 days, 22 hours, 30 minutes, 25 seconds.
Mm. And that's on Eastern time. We're 5 hours ahead over there, so subtract, take 5 off it.
I got bad. What I was going to tell you was that the magical day comes 34 days from now when we get under 100. When we get under 100, you're like, well, it's practically here, guys. You start phoning your friends for what time they're arriving at certain games. It gets silly. So the countdown happens.
So I was talking with Corey last night about that. I saw Corey last night, and we were discussing the Ireland trip, and they were bringing it up. Like, their itinerary, he and Stephanie are going.
What they're doing, yeah.
How they're getting there, their layout. Man, because of this golf tournament, which is going to be a great time tomorrow.
I haven't thought
about it at all, but golf tournament is successful, then it's like, okay, the next
countdown
giant event.
Yeah, the countdown to Ireland.
Okay.
Got a couple. I'm coming to see you in New York with the family, and we'll have some fun there, too.
Oh, yeah. That'll be an
excellent
time.
There'll be some things there, but I mean,
you're going to three baseball games in three different...
I don't think I'm going to do that.
Never mind.
I was thinking about going...
Bryce Clark, never mind.
No, no, no.
Not happening.
I was going to take him to Yankee Stadium. I was going to take him to Citi Field, and then I was going to drive over to Philadelphia with him, see the Phillies play. I am going to drive over to Philadelphia with him, and we probably will see the Phillies play, but I'm going to have to eliminate one of the New York teams, and it ain't going to be the Yankees. It ain't going to be the Mets. So, screw the Yankees. I've been to the old Yankee Stadium. The new Yankee Stadium is just like the old Yankee Stadium. So,
agreed. There's nothing fancy about it.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, let's just be honest about
it. Now, the area around Citi Field sucks, but that's okay because the ballpark's very nice.
As it should be. What are you most excited about for today's practice?
Okay. Where do I begin? I Marvin Jones again. I just want to see, are we two for two?
You're going to be two for two. And he had a good day the other day when I was there. It's becoming a thing now that you got a guy. This is so cool, man. They are when we talk about in recruiting circles, you'll hear guys, talk over and over again about what's the hit rate. How many times do you get it right in your player evaluation, in your takes? What's the hit rate? I mean, good God, the batting average for Mike Norvell and this staff on players they bring in the transfer portal, it's got to be better than anybody else's in the country. I mean, time and again, you see the, now they've had some misses. You're not going to get them all right. And they've taken some guys where they weren't trying to hit home runs. They were trying to hit singles. They just needed somebody as a, depth piece. This guy goes down. We've got somebody plausible. We can plug in here and they'd be all right. Some of them they thought were better players than they were, and it didn't work out. But for the most part, man, they have crushed it. And this will be and especially a defensive end, goodness.
The other thing, and it'll be good to get little points that I can connect. Because, when you get to go to practice every day, you see a story, you see it develop, the little pieces as they go. But here it's, okay, was what I saw an outlier good day for this player, an outlier bad day for that player? Mm-hmm. So it'll be nice to compare. And then the other part is I do want to take some time to evaluate the receivers a little bit. I saw 11-on-11 skill position drills. I saw nothing out of the one-on-ones and the 7-on-7s. I do want to, even if it's just for 10 or 15 minutes, to watch the receivers go through it a couple of times, the defensive backs go through it a couple of times. I would like to see those battles because you have much more knowledge on that. Corey does. Ira does. I don't know what I'm looking at as well as you guys do with the skill guys.
So, thankfully, I've talked about the plethora of wide receivers that they have as options. But again, we're going to need to see those guys continue to improve and mature and step up, make plays more consistently. Hopefully, you get to see that. I do think, Tom, that, we speak of two for two. You just talked about that.
Yeah.
You'll be two for two with AZ again today. He's been good every day. He's good every day. I'll be honest with you. Fintrell Cypress has been good every day.
So that's the thing. I haven't noticed that at all.
Really
I've
good.
Heard it, and it's uniform from you guys. And I trust what your eyes are telling you, but I haven't had a chance to see little moments like that where there is a palpable difference. Fintrell wasn't bad last year. He just wasn't the lockdown player that Pro Football Focus said he was. But if he turns into a lockdown-ish corner this season – with AZ on the other side, and I know you're very up about and excited about Earl Little in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
they got options there, buddy.
This gets fun.
They got a lot of options there. The secondary's not a problem, but we got plenty of guys. I mean, the backups to the projected starters in my head are all guys that if they had to start, you'd go, yep, I like that. That's fine. It's rare you say that. Most of the time, if you take a starter off the field, if you just go and say, these are my 22 starters, the 11 on defense and 11 on offense, here are my guys. These are the primary starters. And then I just go anywhere willy-nilly and say, I'm going to take him. Now what do you got? Most of the time, you're not going, oh, fine. I'm kind of stuck between which one of these guys starts anyhow. We'll just put him in. You don't normally do that, but you do, in my opinion, in Florida State secondary right now. You've got a lot of really, especially at safety. My goodness.
I want to talk to Ira, too, about it, because I know he had a day where he looked closer at linebackers and running backs. Because they do their own drills. That's the thing.
Yeah, they do.
One-on-ones and skill position stuff on one end between the receivers and defensive backs. And then there's the trenches, where I usually live and I watch. Then there's linebacker and running back drills, which are fun. And they're interesting, and they're physical, and it's sometimes really violent and chippy. But I want to hear what he's seen from there and then start taking a better look at Roydell and taking a look at what Cam was. I saw a moment out of Cam Davis in the first practice where it's very impressive. He's fighting through contact, and he wins. But I just these little points about, are they thinking, some of these younger players and transfers, are they still thinking, or are they starting to play and react? There's a lot to get done in these couple hours.
One thing that we have to keep in mind while we watch all of this with any of these players is it's spring. This is a developmental time. This is a work on some things time. This is, hey, I'm not so sure I need to see everything free flowing as it's going to be against Georgia Tech and Ireland day one. I just need to see, like you're talking about, gradual improvements, especially from the younger guys, that they're getting it and that they're becoming more refined and all those things. And you can get carried away. I catch myself doing this, and I always try to remember to monitor those feelings because, you know, look, I'm biased. It's a tough task to come on here and try to be objective. I try to be. Now, admittedly, I'm not. I mean, everybody is biased in some way in assessing anything, but when a kid's not developing as fast as I'd like him to, I have to remind myself not to get angry and remember he's a freshman. We don't need that dude to start this year necessarily. It'll be all right, because I'm the fan in me is like, damn it, kid.
One thing I've noted, and you conducted one of the first interviews of his career here at Florida State, but Tony Tokars has, in a short period of time, just watching from afar, seeing his interviews, the way he speaks on evaluations, maybe some of the cut-ups that they have when Florida State releases the climb clips. Man, that dude has gone from really capable, and he believed in himself. He's talked about that. He's found his voice as a coach. Like, maybe it was Jordan's development, and he saw what he can do and help foster. But Tony seems like such a vet now, and it only took a couple of years for him to get there.
I talked to him again when we went over for the luncheon. I joked when I came walking over, because I was, I think, the very first person to do an interview with him at length. And I don't know, we connected that day for whatever reason. We've always enjoyed talking to one another, I believe. It seems that way to me. And what that's helped me do is really pick his brain, because he's extremely bright, and I do think he's an up-and-coming coach, not just because I like his personality, but watching him like you're talking about, you can really see players respond to him. They really react to him. Jordan loved him. And so I did ask him, you know, the next year, and then the fall, and then this year, obviously. And he is at ease. He does seem comfortable. He knows that some of the things he's been teaching have been working, and that, you know, the proof is in the pudding, right? The numbers and everything kind of speak for themselves. But I said, what's the number one thing for you when you bring in a guy who's played this much quarterback in two different systems? What are you trying to find out, and how soon are you trying to find it out? And he said, I start with every quarterback, whether they're a walk-on, a five-star, an established star. It doesn't matter to me. I start the first week that I meet them, we start with what I want them to show me fundamentally. You have to be able to do these set of things fundamentally, and then from there we can start talking about decision-making and the offense and all that sort of stuff. You need to do these three or four things really well. If you can't, if you've developed bad habits somewhere and they weren't paid attention to and honed, I'm going to start you over. We're going to start over. This spring is four. I've got you now in the spring. You know, we don't have to be on top of everything at the end of this, but you better be on top of the fundamentals, and we got to get that down right away. He said most of the guys have a pretty good handle on the fundamentals, but you'll run into guys with some sloppy footwork, or they're lowering their shoulder, or they're doing something that you can immediately see. And he goes, I just get him out on the field, and the first thing I do is walk over and go, okay, hey, big guy, we're not doing that. This is where we are with the ball when we come back. This is where our feet are, and this is how I want you. Yeah. And they work on that. And he said, so that's – it's no different whether you're a reigning Heisman Trophy winner or candidate or if you're a freshman walking through the door. I need to see that. And, you know, it's funny. That first week I watched him over there, it was as if DJU had never played quarterback. And I'm not saying that because he was doing something wrong. I'm saying watching the way that Tony Tokars talked to him and the other quarterbacks, they were all together, it was the same. He's like, now, guys, here we go together. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's found his thing.
In instruction, he's found his voice. I don't know that he was quite as authoritative. Like, he's really he's got a persona on the field. Like, Mike flips a switch, right? He's very consistent.
Oh, yeah.
But when he's walking through and he's walking by the media, hi, everybody, whatever, and then he sprints in and all hell is coming with him at that point. I feel like Tony has kind of done that a little bit as he's got – I mean, he's an on-field instructor now for multiple years. But when he first got here, that was not his job. It was Kenny's quarterback room for Mike.
One of the things that Tony does that's very different from Mike, and we talk a lot about how these coaches do a good job of extending the head coach's message, the modus operandi, the way they go about practice every day and developing. That message is passed on at every level by every coach, no matter where they are on the totem pole. So whether you're an assistant head coach in your title or you are – I mean, I damn sure would point out that grad assistants do the same thing. It's amazing, right? Tony is really level. He is very calm. And he, like, you can tell, and I think it's probably true. This is a bit like, in a weird way, I've never played quarterback, so I don't know. But my observation is this. You know, when you give a speech, you're probably going to be nervous when you give a speech. No matter if you talk for a living or whatever it is, you're going to be nervous. And I've given tons of speeches and conversations and had to stand up and do things in front of cameras and everything else. But if you call me in and I'm speaking to a booster group, for example, and I got to give a speech, I'm going to be slightly nervous. That's just the nature of giving a speech. I'll be really nervous if I haven't prepared, if I didn't make sure that I have the central message or whatever it is I'm trying to convey mapped out properly. If I've got that mapped out properly, I feel very, very comfortable in talking to a room full of people. The reason I bring that up is Tony will sit there and talk to them the way we're talking now. On the practice field, he's having this conversation, and he'll say, now, guys, when we go in there, and he's talking about inside the practice, indoor practice facility, and you'll hear him. It's so cool. You'll watch him. He'll gather them around, and then he'll just say to them, guys, when we go in there now, this is what we're going to do. And I want you to think about this. Today we're thinking about this, and make sure we really focus on these things, okay? Now, and he'll lay it out, the order in which it's going to happen, who he wants to see first and why, the three or four things they're working on for that day. So it's like they fully prepared to give the speech. Before they ever go in there, they have mapped out what they're working on. No matter what the play call is, this is what we're doing today. It's really cool to see. I mean, I loved coaches that were like that, coaches that would tell you in advance, hey, this is going to really suck. It's going to be very hard. Today we're going to do this, this, and this. And just so you know, this will be the order, and you may throw up. It's going to be tough today. I like knowing that. I like mentally preparing myself for that as opposed to getting taken aback.
Well, and that you juxtapose with somebody. This is the one coach I've watched more than anybody else is Alex Atkins and the way that he works with the offensive line. The offensive line is all about situations because – How you block, how you conduct whatever scheme you're running, whether it's run blocking, pass blocking, gap scheme, zone, whatever, is going to be largely dictated by how the defense lines up across from you. So he is a master of going through, stopping what they're doing through a mental rep or an early drill and saying, now, what if he's lined up here? Where are you going to go? And asking the offensive lineman answers. Because here's what I want. I want this guy removed this way.
I don't care
how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if he's out this way, then we're paving the way. We're doing exactly what we want to do. It's just, it is fun to watch how these guys help, you know, sharpen the tools of their players. And Alex, I love, is more situational based. He's like, well, if this happens, then what?
And he'll just look at you.
And he'll wait. Oh, we'll wait a period.
Yeah, you got to tell me. Oh, man. You know what is fun? Swinging by one of your neighborhood Zaxby's. 86 of them. 86 neighborhood Zaxby's in Tallahassee. I don't know about other cities, but in the capital city of Florida,
good number.
There's 86. And you roll on into one of those 86 and you say, hey, I want the platters today. I want multiple platters. I got a lot of people coming over.
I see what you did there, too. Danny at Zaxby's, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, one day you had 79 in honor of a team's most recent World Series.
That's right.
86.
Jack.
Boy, that's cold. That is cold.
That is actually why I chose 86 today. Was Jack.
No, it honors another team's most recent World Series.
86, Zaxby's. Over 19 years, Golden Chief Booster. My man Danny and Zaxby's, swing by today. Get you that Texas toast. Dip it in the sauce. Chef Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town, you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't
no.
be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Tomorrow, it's a great time. I want everybody to know this, just so you'll understand. We will not be here tomorrow on the show because it is time for our charity event, and we do it every year. And it's one of a couple that we get to do, and I mean that as, you know, one of the great perks of this job is having a microphone to be able to kind of draw attention to certain things and help causes, and you guys responding to that all the time. I mean, this thing sold out in seconds again. Thank you in advance, and I mean that sincerely. The Jeff Cameron Show War Chant Invitational Charity Golf Tournament is tomorrow morning, bright and early, Capital City Country Club. It benefits the Second Harvest of the Big Bend, and we thank them. We thank Capital City Country Club and all of our folks that are contributing to the day's event, sponsors and all of that, and all of you who signed up to do it, to play in it and have a good time. We should have perfect weather for tomorrow, Tom. Perfect.
So again, for you listening that are playing in this, I've reached out to just about every captain of every team, but it's 8 a.m. start, 7 a.m. Registration. 7 a.m. registration.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. You got to get the hell up.
And I have the list of everything that's going on. If you want me to read it later, I can, but suffice to say, there's a lot, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
What hole are we doing longest drive?
Longest drive, sponsored by our friend Russ Forhis, State Farm agent
Russ Forhis. Thank you.
Is hole number 7.
Closest to the pin is where?
Closest to the pin is number 3.
All right, number 3.
That's Terry's Pools. They got the Terry's Twister Cocktail.
Thank you, Terry's, as always.
We got 2 hole-in-one contests.
Damn.
One for a brand-new Proctor vehicle. I believe it's a Honda.
Our friends at Proctor stepping in big time. Love my folks at Proctor. That both Subaru and Honda.
Hole number 11, minimum 165 yards. You're playing about 170. So whatever your 170 club is, use that tomorrow, warm up.
Pitching wedge.
And then on hole 16, there, a hole-in-one prize of pitching wedge, he says.
That was nicely done. You didn't even acknowledge.
I didn't hear it because I'm going through the list. I'm thinking next thing in the order. Hole 16, another hole-in-one prize. Not quite a car, but a fun prize nonetheless. We had a hole-in-one last year on number six. I believe that was Mr. Chris Gaskins. Remember, he came up and
right.
He celebrated with us. He's like,
"That's right.
Sorry, I'm coming to say hi."
Yeah, he came running over. That is right, he did.
Because we were on 15.
Yeah, we were. I've still never had a hole-in-one. I've hit the pin. I've had it roll and lip. I've done a couple of moments where I thought for sure this was going to be the day, but alas, maybe it's tomorrow at my own tournament. How about that?
So free beer for all. Our friends Tri-Eagle Sales, big time.
Thank you, Tri-Eagle, yes.
Big time. Oyster City coming through big time.
Yeah.
Six spirit tasting stations around the course.
Six of them.
One of which is Gordo Smash.
Delicious. And that's on 17, I think, Gordo's.
That is correct.
Thank you, yeah. Gordo's, as always. Thank you, Eddie, and the gals and everybody. It's going to be great. All right. I'll have to read this after the next break. I do want to point something out for the Battles In and tickets that you can buy and help benefit Florida State student athletes. And you can get involved and be an event sponsor. All this good stuff is going to be at the Moon. It's going to be fun. It's going to be on the 19th of April. I'll talk about it in detail later. Quick update, your Mets 7-2 over Atlanta now in the fifth. Runners at first and third, though, for the Bravos.
This is how it happens.
This is it. This is the beginning of this.
It's an exhausting lineup. It's ridiculously talented.
Oh, yeah. It's them and the Dodgers, the two best lineups, along with the Texas Rangers in terms of offensive lineups and all of baseball. It's absurd. There are a lot of guys that can really hit. And you go, okay, really, another one? Another guy. Got another guy. Update at the Masters. If you don't want to know, turn me down, flip the channel, do whatever you're going to do. But I do have an update. Fox in the lead at -5. DeChambeau at -3 right behind him. Byung-Young Ahn is playing well. When I pick him, he does not. Matthew hates him eternally because I chose him one day for one of Matthew's team, and he promptly shot like an 80. I mean, literally shot an 80 and then withdrew or something, and Matthew got screwed over. Ever since that day, Ahn has played very good golf. Eric Van Ruin, former champ Danny Willett. Isn't this where Willett won?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
It was no dream, dude.
Yeah, that's right. Well played. Corey Connors, top Canadian. Who picked him? This guy picked him as top Canadian. You're damn right. Hey, listen. I have, just so you know, let me pull this up. Good radio, guys. I'm getting my bets up for you. Here you go. I have, as the top South Korean, Siwoo Kim. Corey Connors, top Canadian. That's looking good. I have Thorbjørn Olsen as well. And Olsen earlier today was really playing well. He's at even par. Damn it, Thorbjørn, get it together. Even par sitting at 21st, but he's still in the money there. We'll be all right. And a little Shane Lowry action. This is going to be a weird day. Tiger Woods and many of the guys that a lot of people want to see, for example, are not teeing off till much later. We get Tiger going, Brooks Koepka going at 4:06 p.m. Ludwig, Sahith, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, Tiger Woods, all 4 or later. Max Homa, a lot of guys that we figured either to be name-watching or might be in contention, don't go up until 4 o'clock. We're starting.
Tomorrow's going to be loaded up. A lot of golf to watch tomorrow. They're going to want to do everything they possibly can to make sure that round two concludes tomorrow so that they can assess the cuts and have a clean Saturday and Sunday presentation on the CBS network side. So tomorrow is going to be loaded up with golf. Not good news for Tiger, who doesn't like to play more than 18 holes in a day, if he can help it.
He might be able to get in the round today. I mean, 354, I think, is what he is.
He'd have to be able to walk the course in 3.5. Like, dusk is 8. I mean, and that's bad dusk. That's, you can't see what's going on.
Hate that for him. Yeah. He made me laugh this week. He did. He asked, what are your expectations for the week? And he said, well, if everything goes just right, I could get another one. Which was funny. Everything would have to work out just right. What he really needs is warm temperatures. As soon as it's cool and windy and rainy, you're like, oh, here comes another withdrawal. I mean, this isn't going to work. His body breaks down. So if he can get lucky and get some 80s and no, No cold morning tea times.
And the funny thing is, the only warm weather event that's guaranteed now is the U.S. Open. Used to be, time was, that the PGA Championship was hot as hell because it was in August. Now it's routinely cold at the PGA Championship, and the British always is. So he has to get lucky in Augusta, and he ain't going to win. So it's Augusta. Basically, it's Augusta, and then whatever kind of back warmer he can put around his waist for the Open Championship.
Quick pivot before we break. Something to note here. And we got to solve for the future when we come back. But this is going to solve for the future, Tom. I think we got our answer, and it looks good for Shohei. It's a bad set of circumstances. But, you know, for a guy who was saying he was robbed, I kept saying, well, wait a minute, man. If somebody stole millions from me, I'd like them to be arrested. Like, can we arrest this person? Or are we just saying that so that I don't get caught for gambling? Yeah, they did. He's been charged. And it's not just a couple million. 16 million. My man was robbing him blind. The former interpreter for the Los Angeles Dodgers superstar, Shohei Ohtani, stole more than $16 million over 2 years from Ohtani to pay off gambling debts to an illegal sports book, according to an affidavit filed by federal authorities today. They accuse Ipe Muzahara, 39, of bank fraud. Bank fraud can carry a maximum fine of up to $1 million. Who's going to pay it? Ohtani? And 30 years in prison. Ooh, that's a toughie. Ohtani, referred to in the complaint only as professional baseball player, told authorities he didn't authorize the transfers. Text messages showed that Muzahara began gambling in September of 2021, began losing, quote, substantial sums of money later in the year. Bank records show that the phone number and email address on the account were changed to those associated with Muzahara. Investigators also relied on recorded phone calls. They got him on the phone, Tom. Phone calls from the bank in which Muzahara falsely identified himself as being Shohei Ohtani in order to trick and deceive the bank employees to authorizing the transfers. See, that's the other thing I was wondering about. So this answers a lot of questions, because when they were talking about transfers of money, you know, if you go to your own bank and try to transfer $8,000, $4,000, let alone $1 million.
Yeah.
They're going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, they're gonna ask you about it. So they've got recorded phone calls of him talking to the bank reps. Probably good for Ohtani, all of this, obviously. One specific transfer, June 20th, 2023, was $500,000, and it was to an associate bookmaker. The bookmaker isn't in the complaint. His role in the detail of that matches Matthew Boyer, who I imagine now is also going to be in some kind of trouble. But it's looking like what broke the case was the fact that he got greedier and greedier and tried to go in instead of $100,000 here or there, started going in for millions.
My skepticism is reducing
quite a bit,
the sentence as you read more and more. We're still not done yet. I'm almost there.
Well, it helps that he has been charged with this crime.
The phone, yes.
That,
the,
I mean, look,
the phone call helps too.
The phone call helps a lot. But also, you're not going, if Ohtani is back, you're going, yeah, do it. The feds aren't swooping in here and charging him with 30 counts.
Right. Right. You know, that is correct.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. They're making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy. The Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to NoelRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, NoelRetirement.com.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
So, very quickly, I want to address this. This is our segment, Solving for the Future. Our friends at ISF, you know about them. They're great collaborators. Sometimes struggle with that one for some reason. With us on the show, but also with state government. And they do this across the country. They are fun to work with, and obviously this is a segment that we've enjoyed doing. But today's, and I'll get back to ISF in a second, but to Solving for the Future is exactly what we're doing right now, just the way they do. As I tell you about this event coming up at the Moon from 5 to 7:30 p.m. April the 19th, and this is State of the Knowles, if you will. Mike Norvell, a live address, proceeds from the benefit, from the event, benefit the Battle's End. And that is a good thing. The spring weekend will kick off on Friday, April the 19th, with a gathering of Florida State coaches and players, past and present. Fans come out, celebrate the success of Florida State's men's and women's teams, talk about spring football progress, preview Saturday's Seminole Showcase. Proceeds from the event, again, benefiting the Battle's End, which is the name, image, and likeness collective, as you guys all well know, that works with FSU's football student-athletes. The evening will be an opportunity for fans to meet coaches. You get to meet players and the staff. You bid on a broad array of really cool online silent auction items, including exclusive team gear, autographed memorabilia, tickets, and or parking to games, as well as valuable items donated by the community. So light hors d'oeuvres, you'll get that. You can eat. It'll be served with a cash bar for fans to enjoy while you're socializing. Pretty cool. You get to hear Mike talk about how the Battle's End helps and the student athletes, the team, and all that stuff, along with staff. And then you get to bid on those items. So it is, again, April the 19th from 5 to 7:30 at the Moon. You're definitely going to want to do this. Make sure you get your tickets. They're $40 general admission tickets. VIP sponsors available, too, by the way. Got the money, James B. You want to be big time? You go in there, you do that thing, buddy. You get your VIP sponsorship.
Head VIP pass.
Yeah, that's right. Head to moonevents.com, or you can go to thebattlesend.com. Either one, moonevents.com or thebattlesend.com to get your tickets for the event April the 19th, 5 to 7:30 at the Moon. Mike Norvell, players, former, current, all of that. It's an evening to benefit Florida State student-athletes. That's a really good thing. You like winning football games? You like having really good players? This is how you can continue the trend, the upward mobility of Florida State athletics. That is indeed solving for the future, to say the least, huh? And that's what ISF does, obviously, and that's why we talk about them each week on Thursday. They know that you want to do amazing things. They want to help you do those things. ISF helps benefit state governments, solve the future through strategy, process, and technology, make it happen. And by the way, anybody that hears this, they work throughout the country, so it's not just here in Tallahassee. Pretty cool, 40-plus years in business, full spectrum of operations, business processes, workflows, strategies, all of it, they're there to help you out. That's ISF. All right. If you got to bid on an item, what would be the item you'd bid on, Tom?
Any item?
Any Florida State-related item. Not the crown jewels.
Right.
The Florida State-related.
No, well, yeah. But, and you can have certain things like, this is if I had unlimited resources or what?
Yeah.
But I can't have, like, the Sears trophy from 93 or 99.
No, we kind of want that in the trophy case.
Oh, man.
There at the Moore Athletic Center. I think it looks
so
good
cool.
There, Tom. Yeah, where are you going to put it? In your kitchen?
Yeah. What if I did? Right in the middle of the kitchen table every morning having breakfast going, golly, look at that. That's a great question. Maybe one of Buster Posey's bats.
That's a pretty good one.
He was the figure, the sporting figure of my time at Florida State was Buster Posey.
He was an amazing, amazing, amazing player. And then to see him go on and have the Major League Baseball career that he did, and many think will be a Hall of Fame career when it's all said and done, is also awesome.
Okay, here's something. It's a memorable time, And it begins one of the great stories that doesn't end in a national championship for Florida State. But what if you could purchase a piece of the net that Leonard Hamilton cut down here in 2020 when we
ended
the
season? It'd be cool, but it's stifled. It didn't get to mean as much as it should have meant, which is that team, I think, had a very good chance to go to the Final Four.
Of course they did, and that's the conversation you have after that. But we were in the building for it, and yeah. I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, I'm glad they did it, too.
Because they deserved that. That team deserved it. The people stayed in the stands. That was a really, really cool moment.
I like your idea of the Buster Posey stuff, man. He was sensational and a super nice guy. And when we went out to San Francisco and my dad and I got to go down on the field for batting practice, he was really cool, came over, had the ring, the whole thing, man. It's my dad. I think Buster Posey might be my dad's favorite Knoll of all time. Think about why. San Francisco
right.
Giant.
Yeah. Brought him a lot of happiness.
3 World Series titles. Was also a Golden Spikes Award winner for FSU's baseball team.
You know what's interesting, and this is where you use the pulpit a little bit. I have been looking to find a Buster Posey jersey from college, like a replica jersey.
Yeah.
You can't find them unless they're screen printed on. Like, you cannot find a classic Buster Posey jersey. I've looked, and if people have access to one that could be purchased, I could maybe partake.
I could call our dear friend Tara over at Garnet and Gold and the outstanding folks at Garnet and Gold, where they have virtually everything that Florida State's players and coaches wear at some point or another.
The one that Nike makes, though, is like screen printed. You know, yeah. I would like one with the patch number. Oh, dude, that would be because as it happens, I'm going to be at San Francisco in a few weeks' time. Yeah, I would love to go to a Giants game wearing a Buster Posey Florida State jersey. I think that is appropriate.
I will tell you, speaking of Garnet and Gold, by the way, that I saw Big Meech, who I interviewed recently. Hopefully you guys watched that interview. Benefiting the Battles Inn. That was fun.
You can meet him tomorrow if you're playing in the tournament.
That's correct.
Big Meech is going to be out there.
Love it. Super nice guy. Big Meech, the day after that interview, when I went out and when practice started and I came around the corner, Big Meech was wearing that sweet-ass all-white sweatshirt that Garnet and Gold put out. That is the... I'm getting one.
I'm sure you are.
I'm getting one. She knows I'm going to swing by and get one of those things. You guys will have to buy yours. I will not. But I will tell you something now. When I get that, I'm going to be scared to death to wear it. It's pristine. It's gorgeous. And I am an incessant coffee drinker. I got no shot. I'm going to have to just not put that on until I am sure that I have consumed my last cup of coffee. I can't wear it for lunch.
So that's never.
I don't drink coffee anymore after 2 p.m., sir.
Oh.
I've slowed my roll. I've got it all the way back to 2 p.m.
Good for you.
Soon I'm going to try to get it to where I don't drink coffee after noon. Can you believe it? Think about the toughness I'm showing in that moment.
Then it's decaf shortly thereafter.
Oh, I'm never drinking decaf. Sissies out here drinking decaf. Stop that nonsense. I'm not doing that. Do we have to say goodbye to the War Chant audience because I got to do probables?
It's shortly. Do you have something? Do you have an item of importance?
I'm not a huge memorabilia guy. I am in music. I have a lot of cool music memorabilia and things that were signed by musicians and artists that I like that. But not as much with sports. I have a Willie Stargell ball that Ingram Smith gave me. It's autographed that he got somewhere along the way, and he was like, Jeff would like this. That's the kind of guy
that's cool.
Ingram Smith is. He sent it to me in the mail. And I got a Dave Parker ball. I've got an Omar Marino ball, which I'm really proud of. But I don't have much memorabilia. I've got some cool things from my career that were like our badges and stuff for the national championship. When you and I got to use our media leverage to go cover the Stanley Cup Finals. We lost that series to Chicago, but it was a fun thing to be able to do.
Yeah, 2-1. That was Cooper tried to win the game 1-0.
No, it's also when stupid ass decided to come out of the net. Was Bishop Costas.
That was game 5.
Yeah. James B. went and signed up for the VIP. I knew it was going to happen.
He's teeing off tomorrow,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see him. Yeah. That'll be fun. All right, so goodbye, War Chant audience on YouTube TV. If you would like to listen to Probables, you need to use the link that's in the chat. If you can't do that, Go to realtalk93.com/listen live and click on that, and you can do it.
For you radio people, get it over with. We're already here. We're listening.
You ready for probables?
I have it.
Go ahead and hit it.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
Computer's being a little slow here on these probables, guys. Come on now.
Well, you know that Quintana started for the Mets today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm struggling here. Let's see if we can get the probables to come up, everybody. Yep, no chance. No chance. Okay, here we go. Perhaps, maybe. Damn it, MLB. No probables. I got no probables. This is unreal. All right. It's working. It's working. Here we go. What a mess. 7-3, Mets lead the Braves. Jose Quintana started that game. That is Allen. Sorry, Braves fans, you're going to forgive me here. Is that Wienons? 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 Who the hell
Luzons.
Is that?
Luzons. It's not Wienons.
I don't know who the hell Luzons. That is. 7-3 in the sixth inning of that game. Astros, Royals, it is 9-0 Kansas City in the second. Hunter Brown lit up like a Christmas tree in his start today by Kansas City.
Maybe hammer a live bet on Houston right now. Bases loaded, top of the second. Why not? Good value. Good value.
Yes, it is great value. Hunter Brown was the one who got lit up. Brady Singer pitching for Kansas City. A's, Rangers, nothing in the first. That's J.P. Sears, John Gray. Pirates, Phillies tonight. Should be a great game. That is Jared Jones, who's been awesome so far, and Rangers, Suarez.
One little update from Atlanta. DJ Stewart hits his second home run of the season for those Mets.
Good job, Florida State's own. Orioles, Red Sox, Grayson Rodriguez, Garrett Whitlock go in for the Red Sox. We got
Whitlock.
Twins, Tigers. Postponed would have been Pablo Lopez and Tariq Skubal. Brewers Reds got postponed as well. Would have been Freddy Peralta and Nick Martinez. So look for that tomorrow. That is a look at those that shall reside on the bump. Let my love rain down on you so we can wash away the past so that we may start anew.
That's a lyric. We can wash away the past so we can start anew.
Hey, check this. Oh, they won't be able to see it. This is pretty cool. I got this from a friend yesterday. Look at that little guy.
I closed the window.
Look at that little, but you can see it. Look at that little Pirates guy. Isn't that great?
Oh, nice.
Look at him. He's on the keychain.
That's like those old brats.
Yeah.
Is it the same? Is it one of those?
I don't know.
Remember the old sports brat keychains?
Yeah. I have this ancient one. Look at this. Can you even see that's a Buccaneers thing?
Man, I can't.
That is ancient.
I've closed the window. I can't.
Well, you should be looking at it, both of you. You saw it, Matthew. Isn't it great? Look at that thing. That is an original from 1979 that was given out by WDAE in Tampa.
Oh.
That's what that is right there. I can hear I can hear you, coach.
I'm literally
coach, I can hear you
at the top of my lungs. I don't think you are, man.
Yeah.
I don't think you are.
Well, hold on a second. I don't know why. The best is, I can't hear you, Mad Dog. It's so crowded. And then the guy gets on. He's like, there's nobody here. We're in a quiet office. I don't understand. Coach, you recruited my brother. I can't hear you, Mad Dog.
So they moved it up and down the frequency, up and down the AM dial over the years, and like in 970, 820.
620.
620. When they were 820, the team, way back when, and this is probably 93, 94, they had urinal cakes all around town, and it said 820, the team, we've got the balls.
Oh, nice.
That's what it said.
That's what it said. Classy.
Classy. Tampa and WDAE have never been either of those two
things. That is for sure. Road hard, put up wet. Beleaguered, there's a whore bus, for goodness sakes, that gets people busted outside of Bucks games. Used to, anyhow. I think they shut down the whore bus.
I think that's where Whitney Johnson did his pregame shows for WDAE.
How many of the guys that used to work at WDAE are dead now? There's several.
Oh, man.
Chris, whatever his name was.
Chris Thomas.
Yeah, he died. Mad Dog's been dead forever.
Mad Dog's alive.
Yeah, big
he's cutting
dog.
Gummies
yeah.
in half and drinking cocktails.
Yeah, that made me like him for the first time.
Can I have
ever.
Half a gummy? Have a cocktail?
Yeah. This is all before noon. He was like,
by 12:30, I'll be blitzed. watching Clemson, Florida State. Love the Florida State quarterback.
Yeah.
3:45, have another gummy.
That was one of the greatest moments ever. The fact that he did that on air. That's when you have FU money. You're really not worried about repercussions.
I'm going to put 10 large on Oregon.
Good work out of you. Good job, Matthew. Be well, everybody. Have a great day. We'll talk to you on Monday. Golf tournament tomorrow. Peace.